This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy it or forward it if it's helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today.
Hey, welcome everybody. Great to be with you again. And with Mr. Potato Head, if he lives in your house too. We're going to share communion in a little while. And be prepared for that. Thank you for worshipping with us. It's different the way worshiping digitally, and it's sort of like this. We're having to sing with people either on our own or with somebody right next to us, and can hear everything, and it just feels strange, doesn't it? And it's sort of as we were worshiping then, I was thinking this takes me back to the core of worship, which is, you know, my searching for intimacy with God and all the beautiful arrangements and sound systems and everything that we can get on YouTube and big meetings and all that. It somewhat forces me to really focus on what I'm doing with worship pilots. So thank you, Helen. Great job. And looking forward to more in the coming weeks. So my thing for today is you are the body of Christ. You are the body of Christ. And I want to take that into communion in a moment, but just for now, I want to look at a couple of passages in Corinthians. So would you like to find a Bible, either a real one like this, or a digital one? And if we were in the building, I would be saying somebody would come and provide you with one if you haven't got one, but I can't do that. So I'm hoping that you've found your way to a Bible. And we're in New Testament, right-hand side of the Bible, we're in Corinthians, which is one of the first Corinthians and two Corinthians. We're in First Corinthians, which is a letter that Paul wrote to the church in Corinth. And this whole section is really about how to behave as Christians, how to behave as a church. And he uses this metaphor of the body of Christ. But before we get to that bit in chapter 12, I want you to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And this very interesting verse, which is within the section on Paul recounting what Jesus did when he introduced the Lord's Supper that first night. And you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 24. So he's just taken the bread and he's broken it and he says these words. He says, verse 24, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." This is my body, which is for you. What a profound and simple and sort of bare statement. He's looking at the broken bread and he's saying, my body. And he's saying, it's broken, like I've just broken it. And it's for you. Can you imagine somebody, maybe you're in a house with somebody at the moment, or can you imagine being sitting opposite somebody who says, this is my body, broken for you. This is my body for you. Can you imagine somebody saying that to you, giving you their body? It's a really deep thing. And he's speaking about how he's about to sacrifice himself for you and for me. And within that, he's also pointing towards God's incredible and shocking plan for us, the church, to become Jesus. Let me explain what I mean. If you want to turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, look at verse 12. We're going to read 1 Corinthians 12 through to verse 12 through to verse 27. It's a familiar passage for those of you who know your Bibles. If you've never read this before, it's fascinating, a description of what a group of people look like. I'm going to have help from my friend, Peter Hope. Verse 12, chapter 12. "Just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, men or women, black or white, from Yorkshire or Lancashire. We were all given the one Spirit to drink. And even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. So if the foot should say, because I am not the hand, I do not belong to the body. It would not for any reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, it wouldn't for that reason, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, if the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? Where would the sense of smell be? How would it move around? It's crazy, isn't it? But in fact, God has placed all the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. And so the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put together the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. This is God's word to us. It's absolutely right, and it's given to us because he loves us. Thank you, Lord. So we just read a bit ago that Jesus said, this is my body, which is for you. And then Paul says, you are the body of Christ, each one of you part of it. It's an interesting shift, isn't it? And what does he mean? Well, Mr. Potato Head, Mr. By Potato Head, illustrates the point. Verse 18, it says, but in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. Everyone is in the right place as he wants to be. Verse 21, he talks about the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. Every part needs each other. We all need each other. And verse 27, you are the body of Christ. Each one of you is part of it. Every part belongs. So wherever you are right now, we're in different houses and flats, we're in a family or in a couple or on your own, you are each part of the body. Every one of us needs each other, and God has and is arranging us to be his body, to be his hands and feet and ears and eyes. This evening I'm going to unpack that a bit more and we'll talk about that. But for now, I just want you to know that you are each part of his church, his body. We all need each other in many different ways. And God is arranging us just as he wants, wherever you are. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 11. Thinking about that, as we scattered all over the place, are a part of the body of Christ. Even if we're not together physically, he has put us together in his own way, just as he wants. We're all needed, we're all part of this. And so we're going to share communion together. And although we're going to be in many different places, we're going to eat and drink together as one body. Jesus instructed us to remember him and how he sacrificed his body, broke the bread for us. And we're going to remember it simply by this act of eating a little bread and drinking some wine or juice. So let's just pause for a moment and think, and then I will pray a prayer together, and then we'll actually do the bread and the wine together. Are you ready? Let's just pause. We'll bring up on screen a prayer from the Common Prayer Book, a popular one that you'll know the Anglicans do all the time. And we'll say that together. I'm going to say it out loud here, but you say it where you are. It's a prayer of preparation. We do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not so worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table. But you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Why don't you take some bread or a biscuit? I don't think we've got any bread in the house. We just got a biscuit. Take a biscuit and break it. Make sure, don't have it yet, don't eat it yet, but just give it to everybody around you if there's more than one of you in the room. Make sure everyone's got a piece. And then let's read this verse 23 that we were looking at before, where Paul describes what Jesus did. He says, the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So this is the body of Christ, broken for you. Let us eat together now. So why don't you now get a drink, some sort of juice or whatever? And let's look at the next verse. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. This is the blood of Christ poured out for you. Let us drink together. Let's just pray, shall we? Lord Jesus, we come to you sorry for the things we've done wrong and so grateful that you, through your sacrifice, have paid the price and enable us to be forgiven and to know your grace. Would you cleanse us and renew us? Us again into your holy presence. Thank you for what you've done, for how you make us miraculously into the body of Christ. Amen.